Saturday, August 25th, 2018. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and Woolly'sBlog.blogspot.com. Additionally, I suggest that you subscribe to ScreeningSandyHook.net. During the program, email questions or comments to comment, and comment is just singular, no S at the end of comment, comment at spingola.email. I invite you to visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. You may view our guest lineup at spingola.com. In addition to the links for each guest, I also have other interesting links relative to the guest and his or her subject. We will be taking calls in the last hour at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Lark in Texas. His website is, and it's a static website, larkintexas.blogspot.com. Prior to last week, I read the book State Organs, Transplant Abuse in China. There could easily be a book titled State Organs, Transplant Abuse in America. My guest and I discussed the topic of organ seizure in China from a particular group. He provided a lot of audio files. Oh, gosh, there were a lot, maybe 20, 25. And I want to make some clarifications, as there are still a lot of serious misconceptions about this horrid procedure. A listener summed it up perfectly. And she was pretty mad. I can tell because she, because I know her. But she said, donors are killed. Yes. But as I see it, this is not the worst problem. The worst problem is that they are tortured, and all in caps, for hours, all in caps, because they are given no anesthetic, all in caps, even though there is always anesthesiologist in attendance. Only Satan, all in caps, could have dreamed this horrifying practice up. The lack of anesthesia has nothing, all in caps, to do. Nothing at all in caps, with political affiliation or unpopular minorities. Every single donor gets tortured. Now, I've had Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones on the program numerous times, and we've talked about this. They do not take organs from dead bodies. The people who are donors, including all the crazy people who have signed up to be organ donors in this country without any recognition, without any knowledge of what it entails, will be harvested while they are alive. A heart that stops beating is not worth anything after 3 to 5 minutes. Okay? And that goes for other vital organs. Donors are murdered, all in caps. That's my all in caps. Murdered in the process. And yes, okay, so China has a program where people unwillingly become organ donors. Well, in this country, people willingly become organ donors. And it is a state program here also. Okay, enough of that. But Lark, I know that you and I have talked about this before, about organ donations, and we've talked about a lot of things, but terrible, terrible situation. Hello, Lark. Are you there?
How are you this fine afternoon, Deanna?
I'm good, and you? It's wonderful to talk with you again.
Yeah, likewise. It's a sunny day here in my hovel hole in suburbia. And, well, we have a lot of interesting things to discuss today, I think. And yes. It has been a while since we've talked.
It has. It really has. You are known to be an expert on something that a lot of people don't hear a lot about, but everyone in the country experiences it in some fashion or another. And you talk about communitarianism. And let's give out a couple of websites. Okay, larkintexas.blogspot.com. Excuse me. You also have a Chet Tango site, Just an American, Justa, JustaNumerican.chettango.com. So let's see what other. And I also have notes at spingola.com/lark.html, and which is a good site to visit right now, because that is where your notes are on the subject that we're just discussing, organ donation,
or organ harvesting, known as human trafficking.
Organ donation sounds so benign. You're right. It's organ harvesting. It's organ trafficking. Thank you for clarifying.
It's also human trafficking.
Yes.
Remember, the system that we live in today, which is organized crime made legal, or gangsterism, it condones human, child, sex, drug, and organ trafficking.
You're right.
These things have been made legal in this system. And that's why your opening comments regarding organ trafficking are quite apropos to our discussion today. As you know, I had a brother that he was choking on something. This was in 2011. He was 55 years old. He could not breathe for a period of about 3 minutes before the ambulance arrived. He wound up in the hospital. They kept him on life support for about a week. And I suspect that's what's happened to him. Although I haven't been able to just nail it down definitively, probably because I haven't really wanted to do the research. His own daughter and wife swear that this did not occur, but there's so many ways to conceal these things from one's loved ones, it's not even funny. When they get a candidate like that, like, what was her name, Bernice. The lady that appeared. Yeah,
yes.
Like what happened to her son.
Yes.
He was in a motorcycle accident, and he was supposedly pronounced brain dead.
No, it was a shooting accident. He inadvertently shot himself. And
I see.
But and they went through the process of going to the hospital. There seems to be some static on your phone.
How about now? How about test 1, 2, 3?
Yes, that's good. So he was an organ donor. According to his driver's license, he was just a child. My gosh, and he They took him immediately to a trauma one center, because the minute the ambulance was called, they ascertained who he was, what he was, and they immediately took him to the trauma one center, which is a harvesting center. And they met with people that they thought were there to help them and to, you know, just be there. And it was just such a slick operation. And something told her afterwards, and just things that occurred during the process, something told her to look at what had happened, and she got the records. And it's just every time that that I have Bernice on the program and we talk about this, it just brings me to tears as a parent.
My younger brother was a Vietnam vet. And so he had been unemployed for several years. He basically worked from home, and he sold collectible cigarette lighters via eBay and the like. Mm-hmm. But he had to do it kind of on the sly because, of course, he didn't want to lose that those VA benefets. And
oh, yeah, they're so big. They're so big. They take care of the vets so well, right? I'm being facetious.
Oh, indeed. And he had a spot already earmarked, you know, at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery where he lived. Coupled with the fact that he was cremated. So, I mean, his wife and his daughter never saw his body, you know, mm-hmm. after he died, because he was immediately put in a box. Now, there was a formal, service, you know, with the 21-gun salute or whatever it is and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, by then he'd been cremated and placed in a box, and then he got stuck in the ground. And he represented the last member of my nuclear family. So, you know, my sister died at the age of 45. In 2003, and then a few months later, my stepfather, the one that raised me, he died. My mother died at age 62.
Wow.
In 1996. And, we've talked about this before. I told them since I was a young teenager, never trust a doctor or a lawyer. Never, ever, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. These are professions that have been compromised, and they have been brainwashed. Now, they'll never admit it because, of course, I maintain, and others would agree with me, that the people that are the most educated in our society, that are they're launched on career paths, you know, credentials mean a lot to their status and how that career path trajectory takes them and so forth. These people are compromised. And this is true of all the professions today, not just the professions, but a good way to prove that point is there's an article written by Patrick Grimm several years ago. It's called How the Federal Reserve Bought the Economics Profession. It says right in there, it's the template for how they took over all the professions, doctors, lawyers, anybody that thinks of themselves as a professional. "Quote unquote."
You could add politicians to that also.
I mean, there isn't anybody that represents my interests that's in this town or in Dallas, in next town over. Nobody at the federal, state, county, local level represents my interest or your interest, to be honest with you, because the truth is these people have to sign non-compete, non-disclosure agreements. They have to lie because they're bound to contract. In other words, they'll white lie you all day, and they'll tell you what you want to hear, but they are not permitted to disclose what goes on behind closed doors. vis-a-vis that non-disclosure agreement. And this occurs with the NGOs and the public-private partnerships, you know, the contractors and contractees, you know, working for large corporations. It's a very common way of doing business in today's world. But before we leave this topic, you know, I want to point out that, you know, several years ago, I brought up to the listeners more than a few times about the Dallas Citizens Council, which was created on November 22nd, 1937. And some local business people wanted to ostensibly promote the business interest of Dallas. In other words, they were very keen about how Dallas was being branded. This is before World War II. And a man named Julius Sheps, who was a prominent Jewish dairyman in this area, whose products were on all the grocery store shelves, for instance, even today, was the main one who helped to put that thing together. But yeah, when doing my research on this organ harvesting deal, I found out that the former president of the Dallas Citizens Council headed up the company. She was really just a put up, a spokesperson for the company that had all the big contracts with the hospital.
Lark, you're cutting out.
It's done in real time. It's all done by computer nowadays. You know, matching the donor and so forth and so on. They're literally bidding like it was an auction for these organs. And what was mentioned is the figure, like $12, $14 million per human body?
11.2 is what the figure is for. For instance, if you're selling milk, if you break it down and take the cream off and do a bunch of other things to it, you can sell the parts for a lot more than the whole. And that's true with the human body. When you harvest all the organs, it's $11.2 million. And it doesn't go to the donor's family. It goes to the hospital.
Well, you know, Deanna, under international law, as it existed during the time of the war between the states, I hearken back to the Lieber Code.
Right.
And there's some contemporary correlations. You know, there's a Israeli legal scholar named Rotem Galadi, G-I-L-A-D-I, Rotem, R-O-T-E-M, I think. And he wrote something called A Different Sense of Humanity, Occupation in Francis Lieber's Code. Now, he wrote this in 2012 for the International Review of the Red Cross in Switzerland. And it's astonishing the language that is employed. It's unbelievable the level that you really have to dig when it comes to language to be able to really appreciate the depth and the levels of pervasiveness of this communitarian code speak, as I've termed before. It's how all of us are bamboozled. You know, in my suburban neighborhood, you know, there's a big to-do about a property tax increase in November and school teachers' salaries. But these people are clueless.
Indeed. Alrighty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. My guest today is Lark in Texas. His website is larkintexas.blogspot.com. Okay.
If I might, Deanna?
Yes.
Let me mention a couple of things that I assembled for the RBN website, republicbroadcasting.org, but you can find it with any search engine. I'm working on a trilogy, and these are the two first installments. The first is communitarianism, first things first.
Okay, I'm going to post that link in the chat room.
And the second is simply Lark on communitarianism. And what I'm at work on for the third part of this trilogy is simply entitled Technoslavery. Remembering, of course, that language is perhaps man's oldest technology, because a technology is a tool. Remember, it is a utile or utilitarian device. That's where we get this word utility, utilitarian values, etc. But, it's simply a tool, just like an anvil, an axe, a fulcrum, a lever is a tool, like a television is a tool, a lawnmower, a car, a personal computer, or a smart device. And then, of course, money is a technology. Remember, it's considered a convenience in which to facilitate trade and or barter. And then, of course, you know, man has a love affair with machines of all types since ancient times, and never more so than today. Today, we have to be concerned about these GRIN technologies, so-called GRIN is the acronym, and that stands for genetics, robotics, information, and nanotech. And do we really think that man is not going to continue pushing in every conceivable direction as far as this technology is going to take us in this modern world? I mean, we have a love affair with technology.
I agree. Sure.
But what I thought might be useful today is to discuss the different ways that we can be bamboozled very easily by language as one possible thing to track. I certainly have a lot of things to share if the listeners are interested, or if the conversation goes that way.
I'm sure they are.
I want to point out that something that I'm digging deep into right now, it's simply called Core Values, written in 2013. It was written by two Israelis, Yael Stein, Y-A-E-L Stein, and Eliha D. Richter. Both of them are doctors at Hebrew University, Hadassah School of Public Health in Jerusalem, Israel. And this particular paper was sponsored by the Jerusalem Center for Genocide Prevention. And that website is jc4gp.org. That would be the Jerusalem Center for Genocide Prevention. And so I'll share with you three quick quotes, if I might.
Go ahead.
That illustrate what Proverb, death and life are in the power of the tongue. This next one is from Arthur Koestler. Remember the 13th tribe.
Right.
Among other books, the late Arthur Koestler. Wars are not fought for territory, but for words. Man's deadliest weapon is language. He is susceptible to being hypnotized by slogans as he is to infectious diseases. And where there is an epidemic, the group mind takes over. And finally,
true.
This quote from Abraham Joshua Heschel. Auschwitz was built not with stones, but words. And of course, you know, I studied marketing.
Okay, we'll pick up marketing on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ho, Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting in a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Lark in Texas, and you were going to be talking about marketing.
Before I do that, before I forget, Deanna, are you aware of the passing of Stephen Goodson?
No.
Do you know who I'm speaking about?
Yes, I interviewed him.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I could probably put some links in the chat room for that. He died in a hospital as he was being delivered into the hospital. He said he was screaming out, "I don't want to be here. They're going to kill me."
Oh my gosh.
Well, he was dead, he was dead the next day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you know who I spoke to about this recently was Karen Smith, who is from South Africa, living in the States. She substituted for John Stadmiller this past week on his show. But leading into the discussion about this, there's a website called the Info Underground. And there is supposedly a hit piece on you and Stephen Goodson. Because, of course, you interviewed him a few times.
Right.
And
he,
it's posted
lived near
in Veterans
Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah. And, of course, as we know, he was a banker.
Yes.
Very well educated. He was actually tied to the aristocracy in Britain as well. He had a non-executive voting status on the Federal Reserve equivalent in South Africa. They actually have people outside that are not shareholders that sit on that board. And of course, he's been uncovering corruption for ages, because he served on that board for at least 8 years, to my knowledge. But interestingly enough, let me see if I can pull this thing up. Talking about marketing, there's a man. You can do a search online. He wrote a book called Fast Money, How to Get Money for Anything Fast. Now, this is a man that studied at MIT under Norbert Wiener. And he certainly would have been familiar with Maxwell Maltz's work regarding what this gentleman, I'll think of his name in a moment, styled cybernetic transposition. Now, when I first got on the internet in 2004, I was fascinated because I was rather a latecomer, and I was surrounded by people that insisted I had to get online naturally. And everywhere I looked, I saw this word community. Everybody wanted you to sign up for somebody's membership site. Join my community. Join my cult.
Join Facebook.
And the like. Oh, yeah. And I was astonished by all these things. And, you know, there were two things that were wildly being promoted on the internet. And the first thing was how to get rich using the internet. How you, too, can make a lot of money as a so-called internet marketer. And I said to myself, well, you know, I closed my business at the end of 2005. I had a bricks and mortars business. I did pretty well, but it was very stressful. And I had 12 people on the payroll, large warehouse operation, did business across the country, and had it for 12 years. And I was getting a little bit burnt out, and I was looking for something that I could do that made sense, that was honorable, an honorable way to earn a living, shall we say. Because, as you know, I didn't consider becoming a doctor or an attorney to be an honorable way to earn a living, even when I was 14 years old. So I thought, well, I should learn something about what the big boys are thinking when it comes to marketing. And my, what a journey that was. Now, I was very interested in copywriting because I thought, well, I may have some skill with words. Because, you know, after all, I've written poetry. You know, I wrote a book that I never published because I never thought it was good enough to publish. And always liked words. I told you before, I used to work crossword puzzles when I was a boy into my adulthood. But I thought, well, you know, there are examples of people who are very good with words and they're paid good money. The examples might be George Lakoff. You know, who's a linguist and a philosopher of the so-called left. And then there's Frank Luntz, a political consultant and pollster, who is a wordsmith of the right. George Orwell could be called a wordsmith. Noam Chomsky. And there's many people that are quite good with words, we have to admit. And their principal aim, when anytime you put pen to paper or you form a word to place in a sentence that you're going to verbalize, your intent is influence and persuasion. Now, whether it's oral communication or it's written communication, this is your intent. And it could be altruistic intent. It could be, you know, intents could be quite honorable, but this is a fact. When we talk about you know, and I also studied NLP for a while. That's neuro-linguistic programming. Because I was wanting to get into the heads of these people that are influencing and shaping our worlds, these so-called leaders, these thought leaders. Now, a thought leader can be someone that is a captain of industry, a politician. People.
You're cutting out a bit.
People who create long-form sales letters. For example, the man who wrote the book, Fast Money, How to Make Money for Anything, or How to Get Money for Anything Fast. Now, that's a very catchy title if you want to get rich becoming an internet marketer. And by the way, the second thing that was most prominent on the internet was, of course, access to pornography. So these are the first observations I made about being on the internet for the first time. And I thought, wow, what a brave new world we've entered. But I hope I'm not cutting out now.
No, you're fine.
But just like hate speech, when you look at the way hate speech is being defined, it's just incredible. You know, it's kind of like, well, it makes sense, but it doesn't in other areas. You know, I sent out a link to an article entitled The Three Trigger Terms Being Used to Stop Critical Thinking recently, because I thought it was useful. And the first is conspiracy theorist. The second is alt anything, alt left, alt right, alt media. You can use words like trans or neo anything. And the last one is hate speech. But when you think about it, everybody wants to be, feels most comfortable in the middle. They don't want to be thought of as an extremist in any direction. So they have a kind of a knee-jerk reaction to wanting to be in the comfortable, safe middle. Wouldn't you say that's a fair observation?
Absolutely. Consensus thinking. You don't want to, you don't want to be the child that raises his hand or her hand in a class and disagrees with what the rest of the class thinks.
Well, you know, there's a common human trait that all of us share, and that's this thing called cognitive dissonance. And that is described as or defined as the uncomfortable sensation of holding two thoughts simultaneously, conflicting thoughts. You know, and very often we, you know, and it's always the case that our thoughts drive our actions. You know, these thoughts are composed of things called signs and symbols within language that would be divided roughly as between elements of symbology and semiotics. Semiotics can be described or defined as like framing or contextualizing. Because words mean so many different things, all, you know, to different people and in different manners in terms of, you know, how it's expressed, you know, with or without emotion or enunciation. And we could go on and on and on. But there is a term I learned in marketing and studying copywriters. You know, copywriters that are millionaires that earn their living based on providing the words for like an ad campaign or a sales letter on the internet. In the old days, we had, direct mail marketing before the internet. And these people were paid according to how the company's fortunes in terms of their actual sales figures change from before the launch of the campaign and during a specified time after the launch of a particular advertising or marketing or branding campaign. And that word is slide. Like you slide on a slide in a playground. And see, marketers on Madison Avenue, people who are propagandists, people who work within intelligence circles, they have an understanding of this word slide. And the way a copywriter's mind works is they first of all try to get into the mind of the people that they are either listening to their words or reading their words. And so what their job is to overcome objections in this negotiations process, if you will. So if somebody's trying to sell you Camel cigarettes, I mean, you obviously want to make people think that, well, Camel cigarettes are just the greatest thing since sliced bread. Same with buying a Chevy pickup truck. But it's also true when you're selling ideas, when you're selling a domestic or foreign policy initiative or direction. These people are all familiar with this thing called slide, because this is an intelligence term.
Oops, you're cutting out again.
What they're trying to do is forecast when they're going to object. They're going to say, yeah, but what about, wait a minute, etc. So they seek to circumvent that objection by sidestepping it. And then leave, because they're following the track of their mind as they're making the pitch. And see, con artists are very hip to these kinds of things, grifters and people like that, carnies, you might suspect. But this is true of people in business that are sophisticated in business, and all kinds of people. You know, we talked about this non-disclosure, non-compete agreement that many people have to sign today. I mean, it's true of your city council, your county commissioners, your mayor. Your mayor is actually a corporation. It's the office of the mayor of Dallas or Richardson, where I live.
Right.
Same is true where you live.
Right.
See, everything privatized.
Right.
There are no more public offices in the country, and there are no more public lands. It's just a fact. Not in the sense that most Americans were brought up into thinking. You know, this privatization began in earnest during the Clinton administration, 1992. It was called Reinventing Government.
Right.
And if you think about it, if you had it in your mind to take over the entire world, wouldn't you want to utilize a mechanism that you were quite familiar with? Well, that would be the corporate structure with shareholders and stocks and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to take over something like the United States government, or you want to take over the city of Dallas, it's now... It can be facilitated much easier because there's a mechanism already in place. It's called it's exchanging of stock shares, buying and trading of stock. Just like, you know, Americans themselves are basically stock animals that are buying and traded, or bought and sold today. And that's the reality of the world we live in. But so if you're skilled as a propagandist, or you're an intelligence operative, then you know how to employ this slide, because you're actually getting into the mind and you're forecasting where these objections might arise. And see, the Hegelian dialectic works the same way. Problem, reaction, solution. Thesis, antithesis, help me out. Thesis, antithesis.
Thesis,
antithesis. Oh, I'll think in a second. I'm just...
Thesis, antithesis. And then the end, of course, is when everybody jumps on.
Well, the bottom line is...
I just can't think of the word. It's consensus.
The way it... Yeah, I can't either, but I'll get to it in just a second. It's pretty common knowledge. I'm just having my brain is crapping
Mine
out on
me. Mine does it, too.
But
mine does that, too.
I'll be 64 on Monday. You know, I think I'm almost in the, I'm in the Senior Citizen League now.
Oh.
And it's hard to believe.
Time goes by really fast when you're having a good time.
I mean. But when it comes to problem, a lot of times these problems are manufactured. And the Reaction is that which is anticipated or forecast. And the solution is often predetermined. So what you do with the reaction part is you want to get, you want to be able to control all sides of the debate or the conflict.
Right.
This is something that the Marxists are quite adept at. The monopoly-bent capitalists are adept at. You know, people that are involved in, you know, espionage and corporate takeovers and stuff like that, you see?
Right.
The art of war in the world of commerce, if you will.
Right.
We'll pick up.
All righty. We will be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
All righty. We are back with Lark in Texas. And as you were talking, I thought about Sigmund Freud and his infamous nephew, Edward Bernays, and some of the tactics that were designed and that are currently employed to discourage dissent and immobilize inquiry. And it's meant to produce a herd mentality, a comfortable consensus within an amenable population that will publicly censor others whose views differ. It's from an article that I wrote. Have you been Delphi'd?
Yeah, good notation. Of course, the words that I gave us earlier was the infamous Hegelian dialectic, which is, of course, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis.
Right.
So
yes,
it works in the same way that the slide works. And the thing about the Hegelian dialectic is it's not just an external phenomenon. It is also an internal phenomenon. People will forget these things.
Okay.
And so,
now, somebody in the chat room, not just somebody, but one of our regular visitors to the chat room, said, I hope that Lark will insert some statements as to why people need to know what and why.
Communitarianism?
Yes, just... Why are they doing this? Why all this?
Well, see, this represents, you know, even Marx and Engels in the Communist Manifesto did not think that communism would necessarily be the end game. It could be labeled, rebranded, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
What they were looking for is that perfect one-world solution, you know? Marx wasn't a utopian socialist, but an example of one that's integral to Dallas's history was a man named Victor Prosper Considerant. And he was a disciple of Charles Fourier, F-O-U-R-I-E-R. And Considerant is famous in Dallas history as being the founder of something called Reunion. He brought some French-speaking people over from Europe to settle an area just on the edge of downtown Dallas near the Trinity River, and it was called Reunion.
Okay, so we're talking about multiculturalism disguised as something else.
He was a utopian socialist.
Okay.
But, you know, they had strange ideas, you know, about free love and... they had all kinds of ideas, but the one problem they couldn't overcome is that nobody knew how to farm. They knew how to make watches, and they knew how to make trinkets, and they could weave baskets and build carriages, but they were unsuccessful as farmers. And basically, it was sort of like Jamestown. It was an experiment in a communal living that failed.
Right.
What we normally think of as communism.
We are at the top of the hour. We will be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.